Reading from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 9. I'm sure it's a part of scripture that most of you will be aware of. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" Wow. What wisdom. And that's what he was asking for, wisdom. So let's pray before we look into his word. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that Solomon had the sense to seek you and to ask for your help, and you granted him the wisdom. And Lord, it's something that we need to remember, that all we've got to do is to come and ask you, and you will provide for all our needs and then some. You'll even supply some of our wants, because you are a good and faithful and gracious God. So Lord, I just pray you'll be with me now as I look into your word. Help me to deliver it in your strength and with your authority. And Lord, if there's anything in it that you don't want me to bring out, just blow it away like chaff in the wind, because we only need to hear from you, because you have the words of eternal life. Not me, only you. And that's who we want to hear from this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning's message is entitled, "As Children of God, We Too Need Guidance." It's obvious from that reading that we just read from 1 Kings that Solomon recognized that he needed help to carry out the role which the Lord had selected him for, to govern his people. And of all the things he could have asked for, he asked for wisdom. Now, he knew that in his new role as king, he was not able, or would not be able, to cope in his own strength. But he was wise enough to call on the Lord and ask for his direction and his help. He knew that he would have problems. Wherever you get people, you get problems, don't you? And the more people you get, the more problems you get. And as we know, the Israelites were getting numerous at that time. There's a lot to be done. Now, the same could be said for us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. We, when we accepted him into our hearts, started a new role in life. We were given a great commission. And we, if we were, shall we say, dutiful in carrying out that commission, we too were going to come across problems and difficulties. And we too need a touch of wisdom from the Lord. And as his word tells, all you've got to do is ask, and it will be given. We all need wisdom and guidance. And that's why the Lord promised and sent the Holy Spirit to be with his disciples and with all who become his children, to guide us and to direct us and to remind us when we need to confess our sins, to get down on our knees, and to seek help and guidance from our Lord. How do we do this? Quite simple. By remaining in the vine. By being open in our communication through reading His Word and through prayer. As we're advised by the half-brother of our Lord, James, in James 1, verses 5 to 8, which tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all, without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Wow, what a strong passage. I believe that the importance of wisdom cannot be overstated. How else are we going to recognize the pitfalls and be able to avoid them? And there will be pitfalls which we'll come across. You can make no mistake about that. None of us can be sure that we're going to get an easy ride, as it were, because Satan has got other plans. He is what I call interferon. Yeah, he always wants to stick his neb in and try and distract us from what we are about or should be about. We also need to heed James. You know, I love James because I think it's a very useful book for not just young Christians, but for all Christians to get into, because there's a lot of wisdom actually in it. So I'm making no excuse or apologies for using quite a bit of scripture from James this morning. In James 1, 21 to 25, we read, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Wow, couldn't be any clearer, could it? James is plainly saying that we must remove all of the distractions from our lives, anything which gets in the way of doing the Lord's will and the Lord's work. All of the weeds must be removed to allow the seeds to grow, as it were. And all you gardeners out there, you know how quickly weeds can grow, especially in weather like we've had, where rain one day, heat the next, then more rain the following day. They grow very quick. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves deep in weeds. So we need to be aware. We not only need to talk the talk, but we need to walk the walk. Why? Well, people may not listen to you when you're talking, but there's one thing you can be sure of. They will notice how you're walking, if your walking is true to what you're talking about. So it's very important that we walk the walk as well as talk the talk. There's another warning from James. It's from James 3, 6 to 13. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, setting the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt springs produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. Wisdom, again, wisdom is the key. It couldn't be clearer. Humility is valued by God. James again tells us in James 4 and 6, but he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. You know, when the Lord spoke to me the first time, and I was making excuses as to why I should be humbled and commit my life to him, I struggled for about 5 minutes, but then I broke down and I was humbled and I cried. I thought I was a big toughy. I didn't cry, but he sorted me out, and I'm ever so grateful that he did. And I have a lot to be thankful for. But James, as I said before, I find it very useful advice for us all. It pulls no punches. It tells it as it is. It's not an easy road, but it is a road well worth persevering along. Because we all know, if we have accepted the Lord, our destination is booked in advance, all paid up for. No bills to pay, no phone calls in. Your payment for your next is due in 2 days' time. None of that. It's all paid and bought and done for. At no cost to us, but a great cost to Jesus. In James 4:14-17, reads, why do you even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Have you ever considered that? I believe that that's one of the easiest traps that all of us Christians can easily fail to recognize. I'm guilty, I admit. You know, there are times when I've clearly heard the Lord direct me or ask me to do something, and I've thought, I know how I can do that a better way, and disregarded what has been said. There's times when I've been sitting in this church and been prompted by the Holy Spirit to offer up a prayer, and I've hesitated. But you know, you can't quieten the Holy Spirit. In about 2 seconds, you hear someone else praying what the Lord had laid on your heart. And boy, does that humble you. Do you feel guilty when you do it? But you know, when you recognize it, you've done it. You can always get down on your knees and ask for his forgiveness. And that's what we must do. We must be aware of what we are doing wrong. and when we need to repent. We are not going to be burned in hell for making mistakes, but we need to repent. We need to be honest and open. After all, he knows what's in the heart. So you're not telling him anything he doesn't know, but he just likes to hear it. It's just like us parents. When the children do something wrong, we know that they've done wrong, but isn't it nice? It's nice when they come and say, "I'm sorry, Mum," or "I'm sorry, Dad. I'll not do it again." Well, we know it'll happen again. It's just like us Christians. We are not perfect. We will fall from time to time. But the most important thing is that we get up again and ask for forgiveness. We need to ensure that the Holy Spirit leads us, as the following advice, again from James, tells us in chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. Patient in suffering. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Now we know that Job paid a great price. He lost his children, he lost his wealth, but everything was restored at the end because he persevered and he didn't forget what the Lord had done for him and what the Lord can do for all of us. The Lord is no man's debtor. That is something that I have learned in my 56 years, I think it is now, that I've walked with him. And he's never let me down. I've let him down quite a few times, I admit. But he's forgiven me. And he keeps on with me, putting up with me, just as my wife does. But I'm grateful for her too, and that's a gift from God. James 15 and 16 tells us all we need to do. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know, power is very effective. We've learned of, was it your grandmother who's just had the app? The prayer that went up for her when she's gone through that app. And you know, it wasn't just the family that was praying for her. You can bet that all the saints were praying for her and that the Lord was there with her as she's going through that up. And you know, I bet you the Lord said to her, "Your time is not yet come." We are all depending on the Lord for our days. And it's important that we understand that a healthy faith depends on our prayer. And it's only through prayer and fellowship with one another and with God that we can be restored and persevere. Have you ever considered that the first mobile phone wasn't invented by an Englishman or an American or anybody else, but it was from our Lord? We don't need to plug it in. It hasn't got any wires. It hasn't got any batteries that run flat. It's free to use wherever you are in the world. It's never engaged. And it's always answered. You may not get the answer that you're expecting, but it's always answered in the best possible way to meet your needs at that time. And you can call no matter what time of the day or night. So don't hesitate to use it whenever the need arises. For the Lord loves to hear from his children, just as parents love to hear from their children. You know, if you're listening to this message and you've not yet accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know the Lord God as your Heavenly Father, I trust that you will seriously consider that situation. Because none of us know what the future holds or when it's going to end for each one of us. And I normally hear I would quote my favourite prophet, but I'm not today, because I'm going to leave it for all of those that know me from listening. They'll know it exactly off by heart. But let me take this opportunity to direct you, if you haven't made that choice, to John 3:16-19, which reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. People love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil." I trust that you will make the right choice. And there are only two choices, and that is acceptance of God's precious gift of salvation through Jesus, or the one I wouldn't recommend to anyone is condemnation. And the only one that can make that choice is each one of us. The choice is ours to make. There is no pressure from the Lord. It's a free will, but he wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And it's up to you to choose. And my choice is, yes, Lord, thank you for being my Father. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a loving God. And Lord, we thank you for your Son who willingly went to that cross and went through all of that pain and suffering for each one in this world. Whether or not they accept him as their Lord and Savior, he done that. It just shows you the immense love that he had for his Father and each one of us here. And Lord, I just pray that anyone who's listened to this message, if they haven't as yet accepted him as their Lord and Savior, that they will seriously consider, because Lord, I know that you would love everyone to come and fill up your mansion, which you've got prepared for those who believe. So Lord, I just pray that you'll pour your Spirit on this message, that the seed planted will grow and produce a harvest for you. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bless us as this week goes forward, that you will keep us strong in our walk and help us to keep our eyes fixed firmly on you in all that we do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.